Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, because of your mercy, you give to us all that we need to support this life. Help us to be thankful for your gifts so that we are not filled with anxieties and worry. As you have died for us, help us to make our soul's salvation our chief concern in this life. Give us, we pray, all that we need for this body, and help us to be content with your gifts. Teach us to cast all our cares upon God the Father, that we trust in his goodness and providence. We pray this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 6th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the 24th verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father, Heavenly Father, knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people who trust in God's care, and dear children of our Sunday school, today at Rally Day marks an important part of our congregation's work, because our congregation is really starting the beginning of the winter or fall activities. And one of the most important activities of our church is Sunday school. That is the training of children in the Word of God. And this is important because they don't know the Word of God innately. It has to be given to them just as it was given to us. When Jesus says, go and make disciples, he gave us two things to do. First of all, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But secondly, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And Sunday school and Bible classes are part of the church's way to teach children about the things of God. And those who are asked to serve as teachers are also blessed, first of all, to be able to help young people to know God as their Lord and Savior, but secondly, to be able to study Scripture each week, to learn the Scripture better themselves, and to apply it to the lives of those of their students. Our text for today is an instruction in what is important in our life, and therefore, we ask the theme of our text, whom shall God's children serve? The answer that Jesus teaches us is that worry shows that we are serving the wrong master. God wants us to seek after his kingdom. And thirdly, we cannot seek both God and mammon. Now, in order to understand this text, we need to understand the difference between planning, concerns, and worry. God wants us to plan. He gives us resources, and we are to plan how to use them. God wants us to be concerned about things, and certainly there's many things to be concerned about in regards to our life, in regards to the world. But worry is to become overstressed, anxious about things that are going on, either planning or concerns. And since we live in a world that fills us with concerns, It's easy to transfer those into worries. But Jesus tells us we're not to worry about such things. He asks, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Worrying cannot improve our life in any way. In fact, studies have indicated that worrying shortens our health by causing problems in our body. While we can be concerned about life, worry becomes a sin because we become anxious about such things that we are to take to God in prayer. For this is what God requires of us when he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Since God requires complete devotion, this means that his word in the Bible is to be more important than any other book that we read. It is to be something that we guide our life by, something that we are to read and study so that our faith grows in our life. This means that we trust in God's promise to hear our prayer and to help us any more than others' human solutions. It means that we look to God for everything and all of our needs, even when evil things are happening to us. For God has said, you shall have no other gods before me. And as confirmation students begin to learn, what does this mean? It means that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Now, you will be studying this, Hannah and Nicole, about what does it mean to trust and love a God above all things? Whatever we trust in for the future, whatever we pray to help us about our problems, whatever we thank for the good things that happen to us, that one is our God. Whether it is a true God or a God that we make up. Either we trust in the word and promises of the God who made all things, or we are trusting in the gold and the science and the comforts of this world. However, St. John wrote, you shall have no other... If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Besides, loving the world is foolish. First of all, because God made everything. He owns it all. He gives it to us as we need. And therefore, it is foolish to worry about the things of this life. Many people, though, are so foolish. As St. Paul says, they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Now, through baptism, God made us his children. His children who worship and serve Jesus. And it is Jesus who saved us from our sins. Now, you and I probably would not knowingly worship a false god, but we can easily fall into worshiping another god through our anxiety and worry. And that's a test of what god are we worshiping. What are we worrying about, and how are we doing about it? This worrying is sinful, and therefore, if we are worrying, then it shows that we're not trusting in God as we should. Jesus describes worrying as an overconcern for the things of this world. Now, the land of Israel was not like this. It was not so beautiful and so green. It rained twice a year. There were two rainy periods, one in November and one in March, and that was it for much of Judea. There were many villages that didn't have water nearby. There were many ways in which, even though the land was very fruitful, it wasn't always able to produce everything that the people wanted. They didn't have a good life in one, as we might know it ourselves. And yet Jesus is telling them not to worry, that God will provide all things for everyone according to his will. Now, food and drink are necessities. We have to have them in order to live. And it's easy to envy people who can afford more. But Jesus says that we're to look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Even birds that remain in the winter time don't worry about food. God provides seeds for them to eat during the winter. And they go about and chirp and sing happily, thanking God for the food that he gives them. They're not worried about it as sometimes we are. Here Jesus argues from the lesser to the greater when he says, are you not of more value than they? So when we worry about our finances or about our health, about the global warming or the food supply or the troubles in the world, it means that we're not turning to God to help us. It means that these earthly things are more important in our lives than trusting in God's care and help. Such worrying that doesn't trust in God is sinful. By talking about the clothes that we wear, Jesus touches on another aspect of our life. People want to dress up and appear prosperous and to put on a different personality than what they want other people to know. And then they worry about how they can pay for all these clothes. But Jesus says that the flowers that are in the field are more beautiful than even the robes of Solomon, the richest man of the world. And so if God clothes the flowers, which will be cut down and wither, isn't he going to provide for us? Now, people might object and say, there are plenty of things to worry about. What if doctors say, I have cancer? What if I lost my job and I can't find another? What if I'm alone with children to raise? The answer to these earthly problems is take it to the Lord in prayer. And that's easy to say, isn't it? The one problem we have to deal with is that we're not to simply ask God to help us and then sit around waiting for God to hand us money. God doesn't work that way. As we deal with the doctors or the job search or making do with little, we can trust that God will not let us starve. King David said this a long time ago. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Consider how God fed Elijah with food from the ravens, and how with Elijah, the widow and her son was fed with a small cruse of oil and a bin of flour for at least a year during a big famine. And during that famine, God also used a court official named Obadiah to feed 100 prophets who had not bowed the knee to Baal. The problem with worry is that the needs of this world become more important than trusting in God. The Bible says, having food and raiment or clothing, let us be with these content. Contentment means that we thank God for the things that he gives us each day. Contentment means that we praise God and bless him for keeping us, even if we have a little. Jesus says, what is a profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's the issue that we want to deal with today. What is most important? Whose God are we serving? And this is important for children to learn too, because as they grow up, they see a lot of people going around having much more. I have a better iPad than you have, and I have a better account than you, and I do this and this and this. And the temptation is to say, well, God isn't doing this good enough for me. I don't have what everybody else has. I can't be happy because I don't have enough stuff. Sunday school is teaching the children that this is a false God, that this isn't the goal of life, to have as much stuff as you can stuff into a house and a garage and another place. A successful life is that which Jesus says in our text. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Jesus is telling us what is most important for our life. Because if we only gather things for this life, they will do us no good except in this life. They will not get us to heaven. And by worrying about them, they'll even keep us from heaven. And therefore, seek first Christ's righteousness is most important in our lives and most important for our children to learn in Sunday school, in catechism class, and for us to learn as well. In his mercy, Jesus has established righteousness that we need. For you see, the word righteousness means to be holy with God, to do everything right according to God's will. And the law teaches us that because of God wanting and inspecting holiness, you shall be perfect even as the Lord your God is perfect. You and I do not measure up to that standard. We cannot be righteous in this life. And so the righteousness that we are to seek is outside of us, something that we have to have, that it has to be given to us. And that's what we need to be seeking. And we seek it through God who has provided for us. Because in his mercy, he provided Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus established that righteousness that we need, first of all, by being born as one of us, being born under the law to keep the law perfectly where we have broken it. Which of you can accuse me of sin? Jesus asked. They could not accuse Jesus of any sin. Jesus himself heard the Father say, "You are my Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Father indicating that Jesus has kept the law and that he has established righteousness for us. Along with that righteousness, Jesus also had to pay for our punishment of our sins. And so God loaded on Jesus the sins of the whole world. And he took those sins to the cross. And there he paid the punishment that we deserved. We deserved eternal death because of our greed and worry and concerns. Jesus took all of those. He paid with his precious blood, the blood of the Son of God, which cleanses us from all sin. He loved us so much that he was willing to give up his life for sinners, for people like us, so that we could have eternal life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to look to Jesus as our righteousness, to trust that he has died and risen again in order to establish that righteousness for you and for me. And whoever has that righteousness by faith has eternal life. And even that faith is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit coming to us through his word, creating faith in our hearts so that we might believe that Jesus is our Savior. And since God has done all of this for us, we can be confident and true that if Jesus promises eternal life to all who believe, we can be confident that that's true. Now, is there anything in this world that you have, or that you can buy, or that you can desire, anything that will give us eternal life? The answer is nothing. When we die, we leave it all here. Nothing that we have is going to get us get into heaven. Nothing that we have here in this earth is worth anything compared to the righteousness that Jesus Christ gives to us. And so the question is, why worry when we already have eternal life in heaven? When we have a time with Jesus forever, all because Jesus loved us and gave himself for us to be our Savior. St. Paul was one of the successful people in this world. But he said, "I count all of those things a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ." And it is by grace that Paul, who persecuted the church, gained Christ through faith in Jesus. Jesus therefore warns us, you cannot serve God and mammon. If we are slaves to the world, it will require our giving up implicit trust in God alone. Now, the world will allow us to say that we believe in God as long as we're reasonable and believe in evolution and believe and agree that abortion and adultery and homosexuality and greed are not sinful. The world will expect that we will look to government to help provide us for the things that we need. Then the world will leave us in peace and encourage us to live a good life here. But dear friends, that's all we can hope for is a good life here if we follow the world and mammon. Jesus wants to give us something better. He wants us to follow him. What does it mean then to serve God? It means that we believe what he tells us in the Bible. And there we can seek Christ's kingdom and the righteousness that he gives us. There we can know for certain what God is, who he is, what he has done, and what he promises. Serving God means that his word and baptism and Lord's Supper are the most important food for our souls. To love God is to love his word. Therefore, we attend worship services and read our Bible daily. It means that we continue to pray to God, to thank him for all the blessings that we have, but also to ask him for the things that we need, believing that he will give them to us when his will shows us that we need them. Serving God means that we set our minds on heavenly and spiritual things. It means that we put to death our members that are on earth, that is, fornication and uncleanness and passion and evil desires and covetousness, which is idolatry, so that we put on the new man with its tender mercies and kindness and humility, meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. All of this is part of our Christian duty in this life, to show our love for Christ, to follow Jesus as our Lord and Savior. What a blessing it is that God has given us so much, given us a place in heaven, is there in heaven preparing a place for us. What a blessing that we can count on that God to help us in time of need, when troubles come to us and when sorrows come in our way. We know that God cares. He shared in our sorrows. He suffered on the cross. For St. Paul wrote, "God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" May the Lord keep us from worrying, as God freely gives us all good things. Amen.